Only a half an hour page. Now we're going to read in John's Gospel, chapter number 14. Gospel of John, chapter 14. The Lord, in this first part of this chapter, is getting ready to go back to heaven again. And he says in verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Another one in Genesis chapter 3. The book of Genesis chapter 3. That's the chapter where sin entered into the human race. And then the consequences of that sin is found in Genesis 3 and verse 23, part of the consequences. Verse 23, "Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." Now the portion that I read in John chapter 14, the Lord makes it clear the way to heaven. And in fact, the emphasis in those six verses that I read is on the way. The way is mentioned three times. In verse 4 it's mentioned, verse 5 is mentioned, and verse 6 is mentioned. That's what mankind everywhere seems to be having a problem with. What is the way of salvation, or what is the way to heaven? That's why we have so many different religions, not just so-called Christian ones, but heathen ones as well. They're all looking for the same thing. They're all trying to find the same thing. The way, whether they call it heaven or not, the way out of this life into a better life to come. There are not too many people that really know that they're saved. I was visiting up in St. Stephen's last month, and I visited a home, and the lady was saved, and we shared together for quite a while about the things of the Lord. I wrote her the other day, and I told her that was something that was very rare in visitation. You can visit 100 people, and you might find one that will talk your language about salvation, that understands the way of salvation. There are not very many that understand that, not very many that grasp that. Some years ago, way over the east coast of Newfoundland, in a little place called Glapes Cove, we were visiting, and we were visited three people in a home, an old man, a bachelor son, and a daughter. And we asked each one of them if they were saved, and the bachelor son said, "No, I'm not saved." He knew it, that he wasn't saved. We asked the lady if she would say, "Well, I don't know. I play the organ in the church, and I go to church, and I live a good life, but I don't know. I hope I am, but I don't know." We asked the old man if he would say, "Ah, yes," he said, "I'm saved." He went on to tell us about a time in his life when he trusted in the sacrifice of Christ, and he knew he was saved. So there are three people, and that represents the whole world. I think most of them are in the middle class. They don't know whether they're lost. They don't know whether they're saved. They just don't know the way of salvation. Or at least they've never entered into that way of salvation yet. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Acts 4 and 12 says, "There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And there is salvation in no other, Peter told them in Acts 4 and verse 12. Now when you go back to the beginning of the Bible, Adam lost three things in the fall. When Adam sinned, immediately he was cut off from God. He was lost to God. God came in the garden and God had to say, Adam, where art thou? And you only ask where something is when it's lost, when you can't find it. So Adam was lost to God. We read in verses 23 and 24 how God drove him out of the garden. And he put a flaming sword between the tree of life and Adam the sinner. And he separated Adam from the tree of life. He separated him from the garden. He was cut off. He was lost to God. He lost the way back to God. He had no way to get back to God. Alright? He lost the way to God. Secondly, Adam lost the truth of God. He had the simple command of the Lord, in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Adam just forgot the truth of God. He just lost the truth of God and he went on to do his own thing. He was not deceived like Eve by Satan, but he went on to do his own thing, to go his own way. And he turned his back on the truth of God and when he went on his own way. So he lost not only the way to God, he lost the truth of God. Now he also lost the life of God. There was a tree of life there. The likelihood is if Adam had eaten of the tree of life, he would have been living today. He would have never died, because the wages of sin is death. And because he sinned, he brought the wages of sin upon him. Had he never sinned, then and ate of the tree of life, he'd likely be living today. That tree of life is mentioned three times in the Bible. It's in the first of the Bible. It's also in the last of the Bible. And the nations will have access to that tree of life. And that tree of life will bear 12 manner of fruit in the coming day, and it'll be for the healing of the nations. So Adam lost the way to God, Adam lost the truth of God, and Adam lost the life of God. The day Adam ate of that tree, he died that very day that he ate of it. Because man is a three-part being. He has a spirit, a soul, and a body. Though just the one man, he's a three-part being. And the spirit of Adam was able to communicate with God. The soul of Adam gave him self-consciousness in what he was doing in the garden as he cared for it and kept the garden. And the body, of course, was just the house that the soul and the spirit lived in. So the day Adam ate of that tree, he died spiritually to God. That is, he was out of fellowship and communion with God. He was cut off from God, separated from God. He died spiritually. A little later on, well, 930 years later, he died physically. And if he was never saved, then he'll die eternally, both body and soul, in hellfire in the future, in the lake of fire. He'll die the second death, in contrast to the first one is spiritual, which is physical. He'll die the second death. So he lost the way to God, he lost the truth of God, and he lost the life that he could have had from God. Now anybody that's lost the way to God, and they've sinned against God, and they've been cut off from God because they've rebelled against him, what they need is reconciliation. They need somebody to bring them back into harmony with God again. They're at a tune with him. They're at enmity with him. They've rebelled against him. They've disobeyed with him. So God's wrath is upon them. And if they ever die in their sins, that means that God is going to have to deal with them for the deeds that they've done. So what that sinner needs is somebody to come in between to reconcile the sinner to the God of heaven. Have you broken the law of the land? And you're as guilty as you can be. The only hope you've got is to get a good lawyer to try to get you out of that one way or the other. You need somebody to go in between you and the law, the broken law, the laws you've broken, the crimes you've committed. So Adam lost the way to God. He needed somebody to reconcile himself back to God. Adam lost the truth of God. So what he needed was a fresh revelation from God. He needed the truth to be revealed to him of how he could get back to God again. So he lost the truth of God. He needed a revelation. And so man needs that revelation today. Salvation is a revelation. It's nothing mysterious. But when Peter made the great confession of Christianity, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16, Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." So anybody that's lost, that does not know the truth of God, they need a revelation. They need light. They need understanding from God. I'm not talking about some mysterious vision or feeling you have or some voices you hear or something like that. The Word of God reveals to the sinner the truth of God. The Word of God reveals to the sinner the way to God. And a sinner needs that. He needs a revelation from God because the minds of people are darkened. Their understanding is darkened. There is none that understandeth. In Romans 3 and verse 11, 10, I think it is. There's none that understandeth. So the understanding needs to be opened up. And light needs to penetrate the darkness. Because the God of this world, the devil, is blinding the minds of them that believe not the gospel. So they need an unveiling of the gospel. They need a revelation of the gospel. That's exactly what Adam lost. He lost the truth of God. And man born in Adam's race. We are a lost to God and we need to be reconciled. We're in the dark. We need a revelation from God. And of course, Adam lost the life of God and we too do not have eternal life in our first birth. That's why except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Do not have the kind of life we have to live in heaven forever. Nobody could ever live there with just human life. It would end because human creatures are mortal and they're subject to death and they will die apart from the coming of the Lord. They all will die physically one day or another and apart from the coming of the Lord to get his people. So we need the life of God. And that, of course, in the Bible is called regeneration. The three things fallen man needs is reconciliation to God, he needs a revelation from God, and he needs regeneration by the Spirit of God. He needs to be born over again. He needs to be born again. He needs to be born from above. He needs a spiritual birth. Now, that's exactly what I read in John 14 and verse 6. Jesus said, "I am the way." He's the only way to be reconciled to God. There is no other way. In Romans 5 and verse 10, it says that while we were when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. See, an enemy needs reconciliation. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we read there how that we have a ministry of reconciliation, a word of reconciliation in verse 19, how that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. You see, God is holding off with his charges in that verse. God hasn't brought you into court yet if you're not saved. He hasn't laid the charges. They're there. He knows every one of them. And he'll never lay those charges if you get saved. But if you never get saved, you're going to have to be brought into the court and you're going to have to be tried, as it were, on every charge that God has against you, and you'll be dealt with accordingly. But God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not charging their sins against them. That's why Paul says in the next verse that we then as ambassadors for Christ, we stand in his stead and we beseech you to be reconciled to God. See, he's the way of reconciliation. There is no other way. There's only one mediator between God, a holy God, and a sinful man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. And no sinner can get to the God of heaven apart from the man Christ Jesus. That's what he meant when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I'm on the internet, I'm talking with a man, a fellow in England. He seems to be quite clear on the way of salvation and all that. But he's got this crazy idea that somehow down in dark South America, where they don't know anything about Jesus, as long as they're trying to serve some kind of a God and live some kind of a good life and serve the only God they know, that they've got a hope and chance of getting into heaven. That's an impossibility. I wrote and told him that if that were the case, we'd better leave them alone in their darkness if they had a chance to get to heaven without Christ. Because you only make them more accountable by telling them about Jesus. They'd probably reject him, and then they would be lost as you. But there is no other way, no other mediator, no other door, no other way of reconciliation, and every sinner needs to be reconciled to God. So he says, I am the way of reconciliation. Now, a sinner needs to be reconciled to God. Now, a sinner needs a revelation from God. He said, I am the truth. The truth reveals error. The truth reveals something to us. So he said, I am the truth. He's the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world, in John 1 and verse 9. He's the one who came to declare unto us the unknown God. See, in the Bible, we know nothing about a God that loves sinners apart from the coming of Christ into the world. We know nothing about a God that has a way to reconcile sinners to God apart from the person of Christ. And he's the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. There's a living word, and there's the written word of God. And they're both go together, and they are the light that lights a man, that enlightens a man, that gives us a revelation of our sin and our need, and how we can be brought back into harmony with God, and every sinner needs that revelation. Salvation to people that have it is very simple. Salvation to people that do not have it sometimes can get very mysterious and complicated. Paul speaks in the book of Ephesians about the mystery of the gospel. Now, a mystery in the Bible and the New Testament is something that was previously hidden but is now unveiled and made known, but it's still a mystery to many of the unsaved people. I've had many, many experiences of talking to people and explaining to them the way of salvation, and they say, yeah, I understand that perfectly. You go back in a month and ask them how to be saved, and it's the same thing over and over again. Brother Clarence and I had some meetings in Shelburne many years ago, and we picked up an old man there, and I said to Clarence the first time we picked him up, I said, I'm going to ask the man how to be saved. If he knows how to be saved, I'll tell you exactly what he's going to say. I asked him, I said, Mr. Mahaney, do you know how to be saved? Yes, I know how to be saved. You got to keep the commandments, and you got to go to church, and you got to live a good life. No, that's not the way to be saved. Don't you remember I told you last night that you can't be saved that way. You got to come and put your trust in Christ as a sinner, put your trust in Christ to be saved. Yeah, I understand that. Tomorrow night would be the same thing again. He lost it from one night to another. See, that old gentleman just died recently. I hope he didn't lose it eventually, that he got it. But salvation is a revelation. And you can sow the seed, and the devil will come and take that away, and it's just as if they never heard. And if you're talking to somebody about being saved, don't assume that they understand exactly what you're saying or what you understand. They might, and they might not. See, there are two groups of people that are unsaved. There are people that do not understand salvation, and the people who understand it and reject it or neglect it. And it's my opinion that most people do not understand. They understand the letter of the gospel, but they do not understand it in the spiritual sense of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the sinner, he's lost the way to God. He needs to be reconciled. That's Christ, and I am the way. He lost the truth of God. He needs a revelation. And Christ is the one who come to declare the Father, the one who come to make known unto us the truth of God's salvation. And he lost the life of God. He was cut off from the life of God. Adam was doomed not only to die spiritually the day that he sinned, not only to die physically 930 years later, but he was doomed to die eternally in the resurrection to come in Revelation chapter 20. And every man born in Adam's race is exactly the same as Adam. We're all offsprings of Adam. We're born spiritually dead to God. We're appointed unto death, and we'll die eternally if we never get saved. But God has interrupted that sentence. God has intervened, and God has made a way to reconcile that sinner back to God. He's made a way to reveal his light and understanding, and he's made a way to regenerate that sinner and give him a kind of light that he needs to live in heaven instead of hell. And Jesus said, I am the way of reconciliation. I am the truth, the revelation from God. I am the life, the regeneration that only comes from God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. In 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, it speaks about evil men in the days in which we live, who speak evil of the way of truth. That's the Lord Jesus. In the book of Acts 2 and verse 38, we read about the way of life. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. This makes him the way of salvation. He's the way of truth. He's the way of life. He's I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I am the life. In Psalm 85, there's a verse there. It says in Psalm 85 and verse 10, I think it is, that mercy and truth have met together. I think the word says in Psalm 85 and verse number 10, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed one another. You say, what does that mean? Well, the mercy of God and the truth of God met together at the cross of Calvary. See, mercy is God's pity, God's kindness toward us, God holding back what we rightly deserve. But his truth wouldn't let him do that. His truth demanded justice. His truth said, sentence the sinner, judge the sinner. They've rebelled against me, so judge the sinner. So mercy and truth, like mercy and judgment, is incompatible. God can't have mercy and judgment on a sinner at the same time. So the mercy and truth met together at the cross of Calvary. And the truth of God was satisfied with the work of Christ, and consequently his mercy flows to a world of lost sinners. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have embraced one another. And the Lord Jesus has said in 2 Peter 2 and verse 21, he said to be the way of righteousness, and he's the way of peace. There's no other way of peace. God says there is no peace to the wicked, says the Lord. In Isaiah 57 and verse 20. But Christ is our peace. He not only made peace for us by the blood of his cross in Colossians 1 and 20, but he is our peace in Ephesians 2 and verse 14. And this peace is only obtained by faith. Romans 5 and verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord has restored the sinner to righteousness. Righteousness and peace have met together. He's brought the sinner back into harmony with God, so there's peace with God. That sinner who was unrighteous before God, that sinner who knew no peace, the way of peace they have not known, we read in Romans chapter 3 and verse 17. So righteousness and peace have embraced one another at Calvary's cross, and we enter into that by simple faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot in the Bible, by the way. Isaiah 53 and verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We turn everyone to his own way. There's around 6 billion people in the world today. And if you ask the majority of them the way to heaven, you'd like to get nearly 6 billion different answers. Everyone's turned to their own way. So we should know that. You should know what God says, that we're all like sheep. Sheep are said to be dumb, but sheep are actually blind. I understand the Oriental sheep couldn't see about 10 or 12 feet was about the length they could see. If it got 10 feet away from the flock, it was lost. It didn't know where to go. And they turned everyone to his own way. So you should know that. That as a sinner, your way is not the right way. That your way is going to end you up in the wrong place. That's your own way. Then in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12 it says this, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Now the most natural thing to think, if heaven is a perfect place, and there's no sin there, the only way I'm going to get there is stop my sinning and do the best I can and try to live as good as I can and hope I'll make it. Now that's a way that seems right to millions and millions of people. But Proverbs 14 verse 12 says it ends up in death. It doesn't end up in heaven. So you should know the way. Your way is the wrong way. And you should beware of a way that seems right. But the end thereof is the way of death. Then in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 17 it says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. So that's repentance. Let the wicked forsake his way. Now that doesn't mean you're a bank robber, you're an adulterer, you're a murderer necessarily. That's not just all that's involved in the way. Let the wicked forsake his way. That's your own way of Isaiah 53 and 6. See, you've got to forsake that way in order to find God's way. It's a way that seems right to a man. Let the wicked forsake that way and turn to Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the light. That's the revelation of the truth of God that's in the Word of God. So let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Then in Acts chapter 16, remember a little demon-possessed girl followed Paul and Silas around and said, these men are showing us the way of salvation. And that way of salvation is very clear. Once you know your own way is wrong, and once you beware of the way of man that seems right, and once you forsake your own way and your own thoughts, in order to get in on the way of salvation in Acts 16, it's simple. You trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You believe with all your heart and all your soul in the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You take Him as the way. You take Him as the truth. You take Him as the light, because no man can come to the Father but by Him. I hope the way of salvation is so simple and so plain that you will forsake all other ways and you will lay hold of Christ, who is the way, and be saved before it's eternally too late. Shall we pray?